as you know, Israel is in the news every single day. It's been military attacked simultaneously from seven different sides by Hamas in Gaza, Hezbollah in Lebanon, the Houthis in Yemen, Iranian proxies in Syria, Iraq, the West Bank, and Iran itself. It's been politically attacked by the majority of the United Nations members, by most heads of state, and on campuses in the United States and around the world. Anti-Semitism is raising its ugly head in ways it hasn't been seen in 80 years. Well, the Bible tells us the world would turn against Israel, and sure enough, it's interesting, this chart on the left-hand side, there was recently a resolution a couple weeks ago, and 124 nations of the world voted to demand Israel permanently get out of the West Bank and East Jerusalem and Gaza, in a sense saying, you must leave and give up biblical Judea and Samaria. It's never belonged to you and never has. Fascinating. On the right-hand side, you can see that the 2022 United Nations General Assembly resolutions on the nations of the world, there were 15 on Israel and 13 for the rest of the world combined. In 2023, it was 15 for Israel and 7 on the rest of the world. In fact, between 2012 and 2019, the UN has passed 202 resolutions. Israel was the subject of 163 of them, 81%. The UN Human Rights Council has one agenda item that's permanently on it, and that is dedicated to Israel. And another, so it's Israel, and then what human rights things are going on? The rest of the world. Amazing. Meanwhile, what's going on around the globe? Well, the Taliban makes it a crime for women to speak in public. China continues to imprison Muslim minorities. There's a brutal war going on in Ukraine. There's conflict in Sudan, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Syria, Myanmar, Yemen, Niger, and even 50 other countries, according to the Global Peace Initiative. That's the most since World War II. The UN isn't doing a whole lot to resolve or help with any of those conflicts. It's not that concerned with North Korea or Iranian nukes or the persecution of religious minorities, but it is incredibly effective at passing resolutions to bash Israel. Very interesting. Israel is the Middle East's only functioning democracy, the only Jewish state in the world, and it is the world's whipping boy. But guess what? It's going to continue to be. Why? Because the God of this world is going to continue to stir the pot of hatred. So today we're going to ask a question. Why does the world hate the Jews? And indeed, you flip the channels of TV, you look at the news. Why are people so incensed? You mention the word Israel. You love them or they hate them. Well, I hope that as you leave today, you'll come away with an understanding that as God's people, we are to love God's people, the Jews. Remember, through the Jews came our Messiah. And also to realize to be against the Jews is to be against God himself. Let's pray before we go farther. Dear Heavenly Father, you're the rock and redeemer of Israel. You called a people to yourself, and through them you have done amazing things. You sent our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, and we pray for peace for them. Not only peace within the land and safety from rockets and attacks and hate, but also especially peace, knowing who their Messiah is and responding to his grace and mercy. Lord, it is a difficult political situation. Many, many people are being hurt, even as we speak. And we pray that you would protect your people. We pray, oh Lord Jesus, there would be an end to hostilities very soon. May your light and truth shine in the darkness. Where there's hatred, would your love prevail? God, help us to bless those that you bless. Bring your salvation to Israel, oh Lord, and give me wisdom as I speak this morning. You are a good God, and we want to be attuned to your purposes. In your name I pray, amen. Well, we're going to look at the why of anti-Semitism, and I'd like to give a couple definitions. One is from the Oxford Dictionary, and that means anti-Semitism is prejudice, hostility, discrimination towards Jewish people on religious, cultural, or ethnic grounds. I believe the next definition, I think the IHRA has something to do with an International Holocaust Remembrance Association. And it says that it is a certain perception of Jews which may be expressed as hatred towards them. Rhetorical, physical manifestations of anti-Semitism are directed towards Jewish or non-Jewish individuals and their property, towards Jewish community institutions and religious facilities. We are certainly seeing a massive rise in that around the globe. In fact, in the last year since the Hamas attacks, you would think instead there'd be a massive rallying of support. Oh no, the rates of anti-Semitism in our nation and around the world have skyrocketed. And part of putting down Jewish people has to do with sometimes many folks deny the right of Israel to exist. Others will say, oh, or they apply a double standard. So let's just say America takes steps to defend itself against those who attack it. That's fine. Israel does so, and they're accused of genocide. But now let me tell you that anti-Semitism is satanic in origin and expression. The whole basis for the hatred of the Jewish people is a spiritual battle. So you just can't view hatred for the Jews as a nationalistic, political, or ethnic hatred. Rather, it is a concerted effort by the devil to destroy the Jewish people and derail the plan of God. The devil wants to get rid of the Jewish people as a way to get back at God. He does not want God to use the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as a means to bring salvation. And so what has the devil done? He stirred up great hatred through the centuries so that in an attempt to stamp out the plans, place, promise, and pledge of God. You know, it goes way back to times of Amalek and Pharaoh and Haman and Herod, the Crusades, the Inquisition, European expulsions, pogroms, Hitler, Islamic jihadists, and you think about the Iranians. The goal of the Republic of Iran is to eliminate Israel from the map. Wow. When that's your purpose, you can see there's a problem. Well, that really echoes Psalm 84:4, which says, "Come, the nations say, let us destroy them as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more." That's the goal for hundreds of millions of people, that Israel would cease to be a place. They would never be remembered. But guess what? They're coming against God's plan. That shall not happen. You know, it is true that every human is responsible for what they do. But let's just say the devil is really working behind the scenes to stir people up. Chosen People Ministries is something Kim and I support, and I've had a lot of good resources from them. Some of them I placed in your bulletin. And Dr. Michael Brown, a Messianic believer, works with them. And he had some good insights. And he stated, when Jews are rich, they're hated because they control all the money. But when they're poor, they're hated because they're a drain on society. When Jews don't fight back, they're, quote, sheep. But when they fight back, they're genocidal. When they're religious, they're hated for being different. When they're not religious, they're hated for trying to blend in. Doesn't matter what they do, they're hated, even by people who have never met a Jewish person. Unfortunately and tragically, in the church's past, there have been persecutions and those who have sought harm to the Jews, and a lot of people who called themselves followers of Jesus. Even in our nation's past, and not too long ago, Gentile kids would beat up Jewish kids and call them Christ killers. That's terrible. Remember, our Savior was a Jew, so were his disciples. Crazy. You know, but as believers, we are to oppose anti-Semitism and to love Jewish people. Now, when I say that, I don't mean we have to support every single thing that the secular Israeli government does. We don't have to approve of every single thing, way they conduct war. No, that's not what I'm saying. It also doesn't mean, therefore, we automatically stand against the Palestinians and we hate them. No. God loves and cares for everyone. He makes them all in his image. The death of a Palestinian child is as grievous in God's sight as the death of a Jewish child. But it is amazing at this point in history, how many people around the world are celebrating and rejoicing when Jews are killed. And never has there been so much controversy around the nation of Israel itself. What we're going to see is hating Jews is a spiritual problem, and it is a rebellious act of disobedience against God and his word. Well, let's take a look. And in your bulletin, you can fill out the handout if you like. I want to say that Satan is behind anti-Semitism, and he is opposed first and foremost to God's people. God called them to be instruments through which he was going to bring salvation. We've got to say, thank you, Lord. I'm a Gentile, but I need saving, and most of you, all of us need saving, regardless of background. But clear back in Genesis 3, after Adam and Eve chose to sin, they really blew it, God promised to send through the seed of a woman a Savior. Well, guess who that was going to be? God was going to raise up a people. He would call them the Jews. He would name them Israel when he changed Jacob's name to that. And through that, as he chose them, Abraham was and Sarah were miraculously enabled to have a child. This was a big deal. And then God made a promise to Abraham in Genesis 12. God declared, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God said, I'm going to bless you, and I want you, O Jewish people, to be a blessing to the nations of the earth. And nations of the earth, those who bless Israel will be blessed, those who curse Israel will be cursed. Be careful which side of the fence you are on. Meanwhile, isn't that fascinating? The devil is trying to get the people who are blessed and are to be a blessing to the peoples of the world. The devil wants the peoples of the world to curse those that God says to bless. Well, God went on to say in Exodus, Israel's my son. He called them his treasured possession and the kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And he describes in Deuteronomy 7 how he called them to himself. God said, you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord's chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. And then we're told why. In verse 7, the Lord didn't set his affection on you and choose you because you are more numerous than others. No, because you're the fewest. But it's because God loved you and because he kept the promise to his forefathers. Know that God is God and he keeps his covenant. And it's so fascinating. He goes on to say, I chose you simply because I wanted to. But keep in mind, the Jews were chosen as the human ancestors of Jesus, our Messiah. And we read in Isaiah 9, of course, unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. And the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. So it makes sense, in a twisted sense, that the devil is going to try to destroy the people of God. He started out using people like Pharaoh and Haman and Herod because he didn't want salvation coming through the Jews. If he can get rid of them, well, then how is God's promise going to come to pass? Well, he's a dirty dealer, but he's not as strong as God. Another reason Satan opposes the Jews and hates them is because God's purpose for Israel is to be a light to the Gentiles. Salvation is not just for the Jews. Praise God, it's for everyone. His purpose is that all people would come to know him. But he chose to work with the Jewish people so that as they lived their lives out under his law and under his goodness, the nations of the world would go, wow! They have a wonderful God. He's holy and righteous. He's good. I want to get to know him. And the point was the people would come from all corners of the globe to worship the great God of Israel. We're told in Psalm 67, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Why? So that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all peoples. Galatians 3 says, the scripture foresaw God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. The devil hates the Jews because God was going to use the Jewish people to be a blessing to the whole world. And Satan is all about steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't want a single good thing to happen. You know, so think about it. He hates God, and so he wants to destroy the people of God and the purpose of God. Now, it is true, for the time being, the Jewish people have largely rejected their Messiah. But there's coming a time, and we'll talk about that in a minute, when they will respond to him, because God's not done with his people. Well, a huge attack of the devil these days is on the place that God has provided, God's place for his people. It's interesting, basically as soon as God called Abraham to himself, and said, I'm going to make you a great nation. Then he said, I'm going to give to your descendants this land. And God specified where the land would be. God had the idea from the very beginning. It's very fascinating. Jerusalem, Israel, is at the crossroads of the world between Africa and Asia and Europe. It's where everything was happening, the cradle of civilization. And God made it so smack dab in the middle, the word could get out. Well, the specific boundaries of this place are mentioned in Genesis 15. And as believers, it's really important to know your geography. Let me read what God said to Abraham. He made a covenant with Abraham and said, "To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates." He went into even more detail in Exodus 23 and Ezekiel 47. And Genesis 17 describes the promise he made to his people. "I'll establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you." Yes, there were some conditions at different times stated. If you disobey me, look at Deuteronomy 28 and 30. Then I'll take you out of the land for a while. But guess what? He also said in different places, once you've repented and been away for 70 years, I'll bring you back in the land. Well, that's what happened. Well, we do know during the Roman period, when the Jewish people by and large rejected the Messiah, that God did allow the Romans to destroy and disperse. And for 2,000 years, the Jewish people were without a homeland. But what's quite amazing is they retained their identity. They retained their faith. They retained even a semblance of their ancient language. And in God's good time, he brought them back to the land once again. It's quite amazing. Isaiah 66 mentions how, has a nation ever been born in a day? Well, that did happen in 1948. I believe it was May. It is true that the UN at this point and many nations of the world did come together and say, okay, the Jews need a homeland after the horrors of Hitler and the Holocaust. But guess what? It was God who was orchestrating this. He was getting his sons and daughters from the far ends of the earth, according to Isaiah 43, and he was getting them back to their place to fulfill his plans. Any attempt, keep in mind, as politicians, American presidents going back for decades have all tried to come up with a peace plan. Well, you better know your biblical geography, because if you try to work out a deal without knowing what God has said, it's not going to go so well. You see, God set the boundaries. And in Acts 17, he talked about how he placed people where he wanted them. It's amazing. God placed people in Trail and Shady Cove and the Upper Rogue. And if you're visiting from out of town, he placed you where you are there. And then he brought you here today. Quite amazing. God knows where he wants people. He's the one that set the boundaries. Ultimately, it's not about political folks that came up with an idea. We all know that the French and the British 100 years ago basically played darts with the maps and just got out their magic markers and went whoop, 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 and tried to make boundaries. And that's partly why they're such a mess. But really, it's God who was orchestrating it all. You know, God came up with a place. Well, and Satan wants to drive the Jews out of it. You've probably heard on TV, I hope you haven't heard in person, the chant, "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free." Well, I've seen interviews of a lot of college kids. "Hey, what river and what sea?" "I don't know. I'm just here." Ay, 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 ay. And they don't realize that that slogan, that statement is basically saying, we want all Jews to be gone from the land. Ultimately, when the Arabs shout it, they are saying, we want to annihilate every single Jewish person on the planet. That's really scary. Be careful what you holler in crowds, people. That statement is a call for genocide. Guess what? That statement is against God. It's a call to get rid of Jews from the land and the earth, Hitler style. It is a total twisting of Genesis 15:8. To work to take the place God has set for the Jews away from his people is to work against his purposes. That doesn't work. Radical Muslim groups are not looking for a peaceful two-state solution. They're looking for a one-state solution. Their solution, with no Jews anywhere. I don't know if you know, but there are about a million at least Arabs living within the nation of Israel. They are full citizens. They have rights. And for the most part, they really want to be there. I'm not talking about just about Gaza or the West Bank. Actually, in what we see is the state of Israel. And they're glad to be there rather than the other nations around them. But others around them, they want every Jew dead. You know, it's really hard to negotiate with folks like that. You know, it's hard to have an argument. You know, they'll gladly take the billions of dollars we'll send them, if we're dumb enough to do keep doing that, and they will use it to try to kill us. Because guess what? For 45 years, that's exactly what's been said. Death to Israel, death to America. Here, have some more money. Without the fear of the Lord, there is no wisdom, people. But guess what? The land is going to remain in Jewish hands because God says it's theirs. And guess what else? Satan is opposed to God's plan because God has promised to preserve the Jewish people. Remember, Haman and Herod tried to wipe him out so the Messiah wouldn't come the first time. Hitler tried to eliminate the Jews. Other groups are trying to do it now, but guess what? It won't work. Even if Iran gets the bomb, and I pray they don't, yes, with it, they could do some really bad, horrible things, wipe out a lot of people, but they will not eliminate the Jews. I don't know if it would get blown up on their launch pad, or it would fizzle out, or if it would just take out half of them. That would be terrible. But guess what? Nothing people do is going to stop the Jews. Guess what? Zechariah 2 says, whoever touches you touches the apple of his eye. I will raise my hand against them. Anyone who raises their hand against God is going to get a smackdown. And when you raise your hand against the people of God, again, not saying everything they do is right or perfect, but in general, if your goal is to destroy them, watch out. You've signed your own death warrant. Now, it is true that some of the promises that were made to Israel were conditioned on their obedience to God. But others, such as to David, was God said, I will give you a descendant to sit on your throne forever. Well, of course, the earthly line of David kind of got messed up. But guess what? Ultimately, the heavenly line, a descendant of David, the Lion of Judah, the King of Kings, Jesus is that one. God told David in 2 Samuel, you will never cease to have someone on your throne. Of course, we know that's Christ. And Paul reaffirmed that in Romans 11. As far as the gospel is concerned, they're enemies on your account. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. God's gift and his call are irrevocable. God still loves the Jews. A few years ago, there was a church, I can't remember where, and it put on its reader board the title of the sermon for the week. Well, usually it was, okay, we're going to look at God loves all people, that, you know, that kind of deal. Or, oh, it's like, serve your neighbor. Well, this week, the title was How to Destroy the Jews. Well, it was on a busy intersection. Everybody kept driving by, and the word got round. Tons of people showed up. What was going to happen? The media, the local rabbi. Was this going to be a rabid Jew-hating, anti-Semitic, blame the Jews for the death of Jesus kind of deal, or what? Everyone was nervous. The pastor began to read from Jeremiah 31, and everyone went, shoo. Why? Let me read it for you. This is what the Lord says. He who appoints the sun to shine by day, who decrees the moon and the stars to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord Almighty is his name. Okay, the one who made the heavens and earth and the sky and the moon and all that, his name's the Lord, okay? And then he says, only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord, will the descendants of Israel ever cease to be a nation before me. This is what the Lord said. Only if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth below be searched out will I reject all the descendants of Israel because of all they've done, declares the Lord. What the passage is saying is if you want to destroy the Jews, you better get rid of the sun, moon, and stars first. Good luck with that. As long as the earth exists, there will be God's people, the Jews. And guess what? After the new earth exists, they'll still be God's people, the Jews. And thankfully, we're getting grafted in, so that's going to be great too. God's going to preserve his people just like he promised. Well, also we find Satan is opposed to the plan of God and hates the Jews because God has a lot of prophecies about them. An important set of prophecies has to do with the fact that the Jewish people will repent and come to faith in him. The time is coming, God had said in Jeremiah, I'm going to make a new covenant. It's going to be in their hearts and lives. I'll be their God. They'll be my people. In Zechariah 12, I'll pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, sounds like Jesus, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and grieve bitterly for one as they grieve for the firstborn son. There's going to be a time where the Jews who have rejected their Messiah go, ah, we missed it. There he is. Now let's worship him. And Romans affirms this. Says someday the Jews will repent of their sin. They'll receive their Messiah. We read in Romans 11, Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles, that's most of us, has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. No wonder Satan wants to destroy the Jews. He's trying to get God's prophecies not to come to pass. And he's doing everything he can. Well, it's interesting too, because God's people and place figure also prominently in the future. Zechariah says, this is what the Lord says, I will return to Zion and dwell in Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord Almighty will be called the holy mountain. Guess what? God has promised that someday Jesus is returning. He's going to Jerusalem, and there's going to be Jewish people rolling out the red carpet. That's going to be exciting. Zechariah tells us the nations are going to fight against the Jewish people, but God's going to come down and protect them and be king over the whole earth. God has pledged he will install his king on Zion, his holy hill, Psalm 2, and his reign is going to last forever. And you know, that's what Mary was told by the angel. You'll give birth to a son named Jesus. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. He'll reign on the throne of his father David and reign, and his kingdom will never end. It's going to be a great day when Jesus comes back to Jerusalem. There'll be a new Jerusalem. God's presence is going to be there. No more war. Creation's going to be restored, resurrected. It's going to be perfect. No more trash by the side of Old Trail Creek Road. Yoo-hoo! You know, everyone's going to follow God's law. There'll be perfect peace. The king will be perfect. You'll love the increase of his government. And he's going to wipe away every tear. That's going to be a blessing. So, of course, the devil wants to get rid of the people and the place that God has pledged to return to. But keep in mind, as there are people actively seeking to destroy the Jews, whether it be in the Middle East or working in the halls of Western governments and on college campuses, who's the real enemy behind some of the earthly enemies? Well, it's the devil, of course. There's a spiritual battle being fought in the heavenlies. And so the true answer for peace in the Middle East is not getting rid of the Jews from the river to the sea or trying to come up with some political compromise, but guess what? For the peace of God to transform the hearts and lives of everyone there, Jew and Gentile, children of Abraham, children of Isaac and Ishmael. What have we found? The devil is opposed to God's people because he was going to use the Jews as his chosen instrument to bring salvation. The devil's opposed to God's purpose for Israel being a light to the nations. The devil's opposed to God's place for his people. He wants the Jews out. Well, that's not going to happen. God's promise is to preserve the Jewish people, and amazingly, he has. Have you met any Canaanites or Amalekites or Philistines lately? No, I don't think so. Or Hittites, they're kind of gone too, and I bet there's a bunch of ites. We still got parasites. But anyway, never mind. But we got, and God... Sorry, God also promised to preserve the Jewish people. And he's prophesied that they're going to turn to him. And guess what? The Messiah has pledged he's coming back there. And guess what? He keeps his promise. Aren't you glad? In the meantime, the devil knows he's defeated, but he's going to seek to do his bad deeds as long as he can. Be aware of his schemes. Remember, he's the enemy behind the enemies. But as Bible-believing Christians, and hopefully Bible-living ones, remember, we're saved by a Jewish Messiah. We must take steps as God's people to love God's people, the Jews, which oppose anti-Semitism. I want to encourage you, study what the Bible says about God's purpose and plans for his people. I gave you some handouts. There's other great resources. Research the issues. Just because someone chants real loud in downtown Ashland doesn't mean they know what in the world they're saying. Read your history books. Find out what's up. Stand up for what's right. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God. Take concrete steps to bless the Jewish people. Maybe give to organizations. There are some really good ones that I'm familiar with. Behold Israel, Chosen People Ministries, International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, Jews for Jesus, the Joshua Fund, One for Israel. There's some great organizations to put out magazines. Midnight Call, Zion's Hope. I may not agree with absolutely everything they always say, but these folks love God, they love the Jewish people, and they love his word. I also want to encourage you, as you're figuring out who you're going to vote for, see if you can determine who you think is going to bless Israel. Look at the candidates' past actions. What have they done in the past? What are they saying now? What do they promise for the future? I know one of the presidential hopefuls was described as, by Benjamin Netanyahu, as the best friend Israel has ever had in the White House. Do your homework. Figure out who that was. Because guess what? Every nation in history that's lifted their hand against Israel has been cursed. God has judged them. Most of them don't exist today, or they're going to get humbled and die soon. Keep this in mind as you vote. This is a big deal. Yes, I'm very concerned about the unborn, about the weird sexual morality promoted, about mutilation of bodies. I'm concerned about the mayhem in our cities and on the border and a lot of other issues. But keep in mind, what are these folks saying about Israel? Will they seek to bless Israel or not? You know, we have Christians have failed at times in regards to Jewish people. But my prayer now is that as they look around the world and go, man, everybody hates us, they'll go, oh, except them pesky evangelical Christians who keep telling us about their Messiah. I pray that they would see that, yes, we do have their back. We do love them. We care for them. We pray for them. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalm 122. Not just peace, absent from war and protection from hate, but wholeness, a relationship with their Messiah, with our Messiah, our Savior, who came to transform us. The way to peace for the world is that everyone would bow and submit willingly to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace. Join me as we close in prayer. O God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of our Messiah, I ask you to bless and protect your chosen people. Bring peace who live in the land of Israel and the surrounding lands. Please, God, give us wisdom so that we know how we can support and bless Jewish people. We pray that many, many, many more would turn to you. Lord, we've got Jewish folks in our midst, in Shady Cove and probably Trail, and we pray that they would come to understand who you are. We pray that the children of Ishmael would also know that you love them, that you want them to turn to you. Lord, help us to be instruments of peace and mercy and love to all the children of Abraham and the Holy Land and around the world. In the name of Yeshua, I do pray. Amen.